wolf under him is never as hungry as the wolf climbing the hill.
Lone wolf is a term commonly used by many people. It means that they used to belong to a group, but left to become stronger. By thinking and acting alone, the lone wolf acquires superior cunning, agility, imagination, and skills unknown to members of the pack. The lone wolf is independent of and distances itself from the petty bickerings, expectations, demands, mediocrities, and unfulfilled dreams of other people, groups, or organizations. The lone wolf is often branded as the rebel, for it is the sovereign lone wolf who stands alone in all of his or her glory. Broadcasting from a newly relocated and improved bunker in an undisclosed location with internet access across the globe. So sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode on Lone Wolf Radio.
Assist individually in the struggle, you can send your donations, cash, check, or money order to Tom Metzger, 1281 North State Street, Suite A, Box 114, San Jacinto, SanJacinto, California, 92583, and we'll put it to good work for you.
Welcome back to the program. Reports have emerged claiming Dutch police tried to bribe journalists to ignore crime statistics relating to asylum seekers. Pete Oliver has that story.
Well, the Dutch police force are left very red-faced, certainly following these revelations in the largest Dutch newspaper. What's alleged and what they put forward is that the Telegraph issued a freedom of information request for the numbers of asylum applicants that had been caught up in crime or been involved in crime over the last few years. Well, the police force got in touch with them and offered them everything but that if they would drop their freedom of information request. But from the police side, they've come out and said, it makes it look as if the police were trying to cover something up. They say they weren't trying to do that. That comes right from the top of the police force. They say, though, that the statistics, had they come to light, need to point out they still haven't come to light, could have been misleading to the public. This isn't the first time we've seen police forces around Europe deciding what could be misleading and what could not. Back in 2015, 2016, the New Year's Eve party in Cologne that descended into mass sexual assaults that it turned out later were carried out in some part by refugees and migrants that had come to Germany. It has also been carried on in Sweden, where police forces there have been told not to put forward the ethnicity of suspects that they're looking for so that they can't be accused of being racist. And also in Sweden, there is talk of a special police code which is used when a migrant or an asylum applicant has been involved in crime, and that's used in order to soften where those statistics will fit into the overall figures. So it's the Dutch police that are, as I say, left rather embarrassed this time, but it has happened elsewhere across Europe over the last couple of years.
Well, boys and girls, how interesting is that? Oh, they wouldn't do that. And they wouldn't do that here in the United States when they don't tell the race of the criminal and the rapist. Oh, no, they wouldn't do that.
One night, my partner's out sick, and it's just me. And the call comes in, and it's the usual crap. Broke her nose in the shower kind of thing. So I cuff him, put him in the car, and away we go. Only that night, we're driving into town, and a sideways asshole is in my back seat humming Danny Boy. And it just rubbed me wrong. So instead of left, I go right out into nowhere. And I kneel him down, and I put my revolver in his mouth. And I told him, this is it. This is how it ends. And he's crying, going to the bathroom all over himself, swearing that God he's going to leave her alone, screaming as much as you can with a gun in your mouth. And I told him to be quiet. But I need to think about what I was going to do here. And of course he got quiet. Goes still. And real quiet. Like a dog waiting for dinner scraps. And we just stood there for a while. Me acting like I'm thinking things over. And Prince Charming kneeling in the dirt with shit in his pants. And after a few minutes, I took the gun out of his mouth. And I say, so help me, if you ever touch her again, I will such and such and such and such and blah, blah, blah. Just a warning. Of course. Just trying to do the right thing. But 2 weeks later, he killed her. Of course. Caved her head in with the base of a wearing blender. We got there, there was so much blood you could taste the metal. Moral of the story is, I chose a half measure when I should have gone all the way. I'll never make that mistake again.
Well, I see a new revelation that there may be 7,000 bodies may be buried underneath the University of Mississippi Medical Center campus. And I bet they're all black. The University of Mississippi Medical Center is weighing what to do with an estimated 7,000 bodies recently discovered to be buried beneath its campus, remnants of the state's first mental institution, built there back in 1855. Underground radar showed there are thousands of coffins, presumably containing the bodies of former patients of the institution, dubbed the Insane Asylum, stretching across 20 acres of University of Mississippi campus, according to the Clarion Ledger. Of course, you can believe everything they say, because they're the ones that were hardest on the Klan back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. The Clarion Ledger, Jackson, Mississippi. School officials estimated the cost of digging up all these bones and reburying the bodies elsewhere would reach $21 million. Where you gonna get that money, man? University of Mississippi officials are considering the less expensive option of completing their exhumations in-house for roughly $400,000 annually for 8 years, a price tag that includes the cost of creating a memorial, visitor center, and a lab to study the remains. Interesting. I think they're trying to cover up the fact that those were all blacks that were done away with and buried under that campus. What do you think? Well, the Sheenies are streaming out of Venezuela. How about that? You know, they always one of the reasons why people don't like Jews is the fact that when a country gets in trouble, they're the first ones to leave. Amidst failed economy, food shortages, and anti-Semitic harassment, increasing numbers of Jews are leaving Venezuela and immigrating to Israel. Hostilities against the Jewish community under the previous Chavez regime have continued under President Nicolas Maduro, particularly as Venezuela's economy has spiraled out of control. Approximately 80 Venezuelan Jews have immigrated to Israel in the past year, with many finding their new home the first occasion in which they can celebrate their Judaism. Quote, I can wear a kippah here and fit in, quote, unquote, said Abraham Ben Gigla, a recent immigrant to Tasbit Press Service. Quote, in Venezuela, the nearest synagogue was at least 30 minutes drive from my house. I could barely get there in my Rolls Royce. How about that? I don't know what this school is, the SUNY Plattsburgh Hillel, held a silent stand-in on Tuesday in response to neo-Nazi flyers posted around the campus on H-Word Remembrance Day. This stand-in, unquote, said Hillel president Aaron Kotel Altman, quote, is for anyone who has ever felt victimized, put down or made fun of for who they are or what they believe in. Campus police are still determining who were the sources of the flyers with the swastika stickers on them. Though free speech laws render the flyers legal, the spread of such hate is unacceptable, said SUNY Pittsburgh President John Etling. Quote, these flyers do not represent our values, said Etling. As president, I will work to ensure that hatred will not find a place here. No, there will be no hatred here except against Aryan people. Well, the Vandals are back in town, defacing a building containing community service support groups and nonprofits in Spokane, Washington, with a anti-Jew and racist graffiti on Friday. Scrawled on the building walls were epithets such as gas the kites, Juden Rouse, and proclamations that Hitler did no wrong. Last month, racist and anti-Jew flyers were also posted on the building. It's getting to be a real habit there, boy, in Spokane. And at a gas station in Missoula, Montana, white supremacist propaganda was found on Sunday posted on several gas pumps. You know the connection there with the gas pumps. Anti-Jewism has increasingly been an issue in the area. A local synagogue requested police protection in November in nearby Whitefish, the home of alt-right founder Richard Spencer's mother. The neo-Nazi website, the Daily Stormer, published the personal information of six Jews living there. And somebody said that Morris Deans is suing the guy for saying things like that, identifying where people live, where they can find it in the phone book. Texas cop charged with the murder of a black teenager. We also have to learn from history that we don't have a conviction yet. Well, if you had racial separation, he'd be alive. Racial separation would solve all of this stuff, man. I was just reading historically where I think it was after the Civil War, there were 17 black guys were rounded up by the Klan down in North Carolina or someplace down there, and given a hard time, so they got on a boat and went to Liberia, and within a year they were all dead of malaria. So much for freedom of the slaves. Well, David Duke's getting outflanked here, I'm telling you. There's a new guy playing basketball for Villanova, I believe it is, David Duke, and he's all over the internet. And The other David Duke's getting sort of squeezed out. Well, the Allies prepared to use chemical weapons in World War II. Surprise, surprise. At the outbreak of World War II, both sides had poisonous gas shells. However, the preemptive use of chemicals in warfare was strictly forbidden by Churchill? No. Roosevelt? No. Hitler. And any retaliatory action required Hitler's approval. In fact, he vetoed several proposals by his generals to use poison gas on the Eastern Front, which I often wondered why he didn't use sarin gas on the Eastern Front. And I guess that makes me badder than Hitler. The first instance of the use of the chemical weapons in World War II occurred on the 8th of September 1939 in southern Poland. The Polish army used a chemical bomb on a battalion of German engineers attempting to bridge the river Jasielaka. The bomb exploded, seriously wounding 12 and killing 2. A subsequent investigation into the incident revealed that the bomb was manufactured by England. How about that? By 1940, England had determined that they would use chemicals should the Germans invade. In June 1940, Winston Churchill ordered General Ismay to prepare for the use of chemicals against the German forces. In April 1942, Churchill offered Stalin 1,000 tons of mustard gas. Nice guy, that Churchill. However, Stalin declined, instead requesting 5,000 tons of chlorine, which he intended to use to produce his own chemical weapons. On the 10th of May 1942, Churchill claimed in a radio speech without any evidence that the reason for Germany's rapid advances in Russia were due to chemical weapons. He added, quote, "We know the Huns, which is the reason why we are building up our storage of chemical weapons. I would say that should Germany again attack our ally Russia with more chemical weapons, then we will start using gas in our attacks on German cities and towns." Oh, he would have loved to do that. The SS John Harvey was assigned to deliver a shipment of chemical weapons to Allied forces during the invasion of Italy. FDR had these chemical weapons shipped to the Mediterranean theater just in case they were needed. The John Harvey was anchored in the seaport of Bari, near the heel of Italy, with its hull containing more than 2,100-pound mustard gas shells. Bari was one of the principal ports supplying the Allies during the invasion. The ship was waiting for its cargo to be offloaded when, on December the 2nd, 1943, the port was subjected to a major German air raid with 105 Stuka dive bombers powered by their General Motors engines. The 20-minute raid was so massive that it put the port out of commission for more than 2 months, and 17 of the 30 ships attacked were sunk. The John Harvey was not hit directly, but it was showered with flaming debris and soon caught fire and exploded, unleashing its deadly cargo onto its crew and indeed the unsuspecting town. Every member of Harvey's crew and escort was killed, 74 in total. Rescuers had no idea what they were dealing with. Mustard gas needs to be countered before contact with a very specific treatment. The entire area needs to be washed down with bleach or a mixture of substances named DS2. Not realizing that this was required, many rescuers succumbed to the attack while trying to save the victims. For example, the HMS Bicester took 30 casualties out of the water, but being damaged itself, was towed to nearby Taranto for repairs. By the time it got there, many of its crew were suffering from chemical burns and blindness. Remember, all this chemical warfare stuff was shipped around by the United States and England. It wasn't used by the Germans. So essentially, the British and their mustard gas killed a whole lot of people in Italy for no reason at all. Well, I see an Indian doctor from India was shot dead in Michigan, but they say they don't think it's a hate crime. Obviously, the guy, whoever shot him, loved him. Run for your lives. Run for your lives. Pittsfield, Pennsylvania. I think it is, or maybe it's Massachusetts. I don't know. The statistics are alarming, given the astonished reaction of the crowd gathered at Berkshire Museum on Sunday afternoon. Although not yet official, the number of reported hate crimes in western Massachusetts is up 75% since 2012, according to Deepika Shakuti, an assistant U.S. attorney based in Springfield. Shakula elicited more moans and groans when she told the audience that the FBI investigator expects the situation to worsen by the end of this year. Wow. He predicts for 2016-2017 the statistics will double from 2015 due to the election cycle. Due to the election cycle. They go blame it on the election. Are there any Negroes around there? She said, referring to last year's presidential campaign. An apparent escalation in racial, ethnic, and religious gender and sexual orientation bias didn't deter Shuka and three Pittsfield community leaders from offering hope and solutions to counter those hateful, hateful acts. The four were members of the panel discussion titled Anti-Jewism and Islamophobia, Exploring the Roots of Prejudice. Sponsored by the Pittsfield Human Rights Commission and moderated by Commission member David Herzig. Joining Shukla at the museum's theater stage was Rabbi David Wiener of the Congregation Knesset Israel. Reverend Joel Huntington, pastor of the South Congregational Church, and Rabbi Eliatha from the American Muslims Association. See how they all get together, man. They're scared, man. They don't like each other, but they need to get together. The four panelists called on the Berkshireites to be more vocal and take action against hate crimes. If you see a nigger attacking a woman or a guy, jump in there and help them out. And speech and emphasize the outward appearances shouldn't divide a community. It's only the skin color, you see. It don't make any difference. Reach out and try to bridge among groups in the community. We need to break the barrier of being different. Being different is wonderful. If we want love and compassion to rule the day, why not now, said Wiener. I wonder how much Wiener loves the Palestinians. Anybody ever ask him, hey, Wiener, do you love the Palestinians like you do your brother? Despite the Trump administration wanting to build a wall on the Mexican border, mestizo border, because that's what we want to keep out. Not necessarily Mexicans, but mestizos. Limiting the travel privileges of people entering the U.S. from a half dozen Muslim-majority countries, and delaying further Syrian refugee settlement in Pittsfield and elsewhere in the country. We want to bring more in, man. We want them all in here. We'll feel much better. Federal law enforcement remains committed to dealing with hate crimes. In Massachusetts, we take hate crimes very seriously, and we want to hear of anything that's disturbing. We want to hear every horror story there is. Yes. She encouraged people to call 413-732-0159 to report a hate crime or hate speech that could really be hate crime. Don't make the distinction. That's our job, noted the federal prosecutor, KGB. Huntington called for all people of varying faiths and ethnic backgrounds and gender to work things out for a better community. We need to broaden and widen our experiences. That's what interfaith is. Well, faith is bullshit because faith means nothing. Just having faith in something doesn't mean it's true and doesn't mean you have evidence of anything. But that's, I don't want to wake you up and destroy your day. During the question and answer period, a couple of audience members urged the panel to work with area school districts to teach the youngest children the need for respect for everyone. Yeah. The panel agreed and cited how some individual schools and teachers do educate youngsters, brainwash, on the various cultures and religions representing the community. Well, that's got nothing to do with somebody terrorist blowing up your store or some black guy raping your daughter or white Muslim raping your daughter. However, moderator Drew Hitchard said there's no countywide organization that can reach all Berkshire school districts at once to introduce diversity programs. We just can't do it. It costs too much money. While the audience was appreciative of the panel discussion, one questioner felt the forum was preaching to the wrong choir. They should be talking and preaching to the Nazi party. We've got to get all those Hollywood Nazis in here. We need to talk to them. Herzig found nothing wrong with reinforcement. Quote, I'm a very great believer in preaching to the choir, he said. That's why I never get any place. I love it. Miami Beach, Florida. A 45-year-old man, they don't say what kind of man, told police he was called homosexual slurs and beaten unconscious as he walked his dog during the evening rush hour on Friday night. And I'll bet it was blacks or Mexicans or Puerto Ricans or some Haitians or somebody like that. So why don't you get all the homosexual white guys down there in Miami and go out and find these people and kick the shit out of them? Kevin Wilcox suffered internal injuries, a concussion, and broken ribs in a daylight attack. His two attackers could be charged with a hate crime. Well, you going to do something about it? Homosexuals are always complaining about white separatists. Why don't you take care of your own problem there, man? Like when you used to write me from San Francisco and want me to take the Klan and help you out in your community because the niggas were tearing your homosexual neighborhood to pieces. And I said, well, you're going to have to defend yourself. I've seen plenty of those bodybuilding homosexuals at Muscle Beach years ago in the gym, and I'm sure they're still there. They may be a little flabby by now. The victim stated the crime took place Friday evening. He sought treatment Saturday. He waited till Saturday. Must not have been much of a injury. And reported the crime to the police Sunday morning. Well, that's a waste of time, buddy. You're better off to get a baseball bat and go out and look for him. Ernesto Rodriguez of Miami Beach Police Department told Patch on Sunday night, as with any investigation, the crime itself is investigated. And we investigate it, and we impanel a group of people of highly dignified preachers, rabbis, and so forth from around the town to talk about it. And we get together and talk about it, and talk about it, and talk about it. But nothing changes. Upon the arrest, the complete findings are presented to the state's attorney's office, who then determines if they will prosecute a hate crime. And you can't even find the perpetrators. And you won't even identify the perpetrators. Oh, jeez. What a bunch of bullshit this all is. It's all a bunch of bullshit, boys and girls. You know that. I know that. Mr. Wilcox told the police he was unconscious for about 3 hours Friday following the 5 p.m. attack. 3 hours? And he didn't go into the hospital till the next day? Unconscious for 3 hours, almost killing you. He said the attack occurred at 14th Street and Meridian Avenue near Flamingo Park, and that's where all the niggers hang out. Wilcox told the police he was walking his dog, his little taco terrier, on the west side of 14th Street when two niggers called him a homosexual slur. Homosexual slur? As they crossed paths, Wilcox kept walking when one of the men grabbed him from behind and the other punched him repeatedly in the face and the body. as they beat him, one of the suspects used another homosexual slur and said that all homosexuals should die. Oh, that's pretty radical. That's pretty radical, man. And we're going to make sure they do. Wow. These must have been Nazis, huh? No. Both of the suspects were described as Nigger American men. No shit. One was about 6 foot 1 inch to 6 foot 2 inches tall. Wow. And about two. Hey, these guys were from the basketball team. They're about 200 pounds with braids in his hair and brown eyes and black nigger hair. The second suspect was 5 feet 9 inches tall, about 160 pounds with a shaved head with brown eyes and black hair. Both the suspects were wearing jeans and t-shirts. Well, that's the nigger way of dressing, you know that. Mr. Wilcox advised that he soon passed out just by looking at him. That scared him to death, according to police report. Mr. Wilcox stated that he regained consciousness 3 hours later. Mr. Wilcox stated that he then went home and went to sleep. He wasn't out with a baseball bat looking for those guys. And he didn't wake up all his homosexual white friends to go looking for him either. He told the police, they hit me, knocked me down with no bio leave, left me laying there for 3 hours. Mr. Wilcox stated that the next morning he went to Mr. Sinai Hospital, on his own. He crawled there, inch by inch. Now, if you want to give a tip on this and tell them who did it, you call 305-471-8477 and say, you know who did it, and you want the reward. Yeah. I just told you the news can be fun. I like to have fun reading the news to you, right? Well, this one's a good one. Tell us your story. America does not do a good job of tracking incidents of hate and bias because everyone's too chicken shit to get involved. I'm not going to fight no big niggers. We need your help to create a database of such incidents across the country so we all know what's going on. By filling out a form below, you are sharing your story with Documenting Hate, a coalition of organizations led by ProPublica, a nonprofit moneymaker investigative newsroom. We may share this information with our partner newsrooms around the country and with some civil rights organizations who are working with us on this project. We will not share your name and contact information with anybody outside our coalition without your permission because we know how chicken shit you are. We are not law enforcement or the fuzz and will not report this information to the police. The Southern Poverty Law Center and Morris Dees recommends you do so directly if you are a victim of a crime so they can get their lawyers out there and sue somebody and make some more millions of dollars. It's Southern Poverty Law Center, Southern Millionaire Law Center. They need more money, man. Don't tell the cops. Tell us so we can sue them. We know that you've gone through something traumatic. Thank you for coming forward and telling us what happened. Well, it's too bad. Should do something about that. Morris Day, sue the shit out of everybody. You can sign up for this thing, and your contact information will remain private to members of the Documenting Hate Coalition. We won't share it without your permission. Now, down below it says, this was, and it got several divisions of what happened. Something that happened to me, that's one. Something that happened to someone I know, that's another one. Something I witnessed, then something I saw online. The guy said nigger online. That's a hate crime, man. How many people were targeted? Wow, the whole black race, I guess. And especially the Jews. Those Jews. We got to target those Jews. Minute, I think I didn't have my recorder on. I got to do that all over. which of them most closely describes the incident you were involved in? Hate speech? Yeah, that's everywhere, man. They hate speech me all the time. Vandalism and property damage? Oh, they broke some spokes out of my bicycle. Physical assault? Yeah, somebody threw something at me. I was walking down the street and they threw a lemon at me. And that's not so bad, but then they threw a watermelon at me. The next is physical assault. Were you physically assaulted, man? Next was threats and intimidation. Woo, I got a hate call on the phone. The next is robbery, burglary, theft, and others. Boy, you're doing Morris D's work for him. This is all pretrial information. You're going to make a lot of money off this. Where did this incident occur? Well, the first is school, K-12, then university college, then place of worship, then online, then street and highway, then public park, public transit, private residence. Yeah, my wife hit me with a frying pan, goddamn hater. Government office and facility, business, other. Wow. Then it says, do you suspect the offender targeted you, this person, because of your race, ethnicity, or national origin, religion? Wait a minute. Disability? Yeah. They broke my wheelchair, man, just because I had white power sticker on the back. Gender. Sexual orientation. That's an interesting term. I never quite understood that. Sexual orientation. How can you be oriented? I'm not going to get into that. Status as a trans person. Trans person. Now, if you were tell that to somebody come here from Mars, they'd say, what the fuck are you talking about, a trans person? Is that somebody who wants to go to the bathroom in the girl's bathroom and they're a boy? Then there's immigrant or immigrant status. Yeah. And then other. And then has someone reported this to the police? Yes? No? I don't know because I'm hiding under a garbage can. Do you have a photo or video or police report from the incident? Upload the file. No, because then they'd be able to trace me and kick the shit out of me again. I don't trust you guys like Morris D. because you just make lots of money and use us to get it. Wow. Well, that's it. If you want to fill that out, I'll tell you how to get it. And you can become part of the new avalanche, what do they call it? Documenting Hate. It's with the ProPublica involved in it. Nonprofit, of course. The guys that run these outfits make a lot. They make a nice living. Some of them make a fortune off this bullshit. And most of them don't give one shit about somebody being attacked on the street. Oh, I shed tears and my heart goes out to them. I pray for them. Yeah. Well, two people were shot at the Fontainebleau Hotel in Miami Beach. That's supposed to be a first-class hotel. The shooting occurred shortly before 9 p.m. Police were still searching for the gunman, the nigger, into Monday afternoon. Now, if he doesn't turn out to be dark, Caribbean, Haitian, American Negro, or mestizo, I'll give you $5. I'll give you, you know, I'm not very rich, so I'll only give you $5. Miami Beach PD is looking for, I'm giving it away. One black male, surprise, surprise, subject last seen wearing all dark colored clothes, who fled from the scene on foot, barefooted. Ernesto Rodriguez of Miami Beach Police Department told Patch on Monday afternoon, we do not believe the female victim had any involvement in the events that transpired, nor is it believed she is known to the victim. I'll bet that he was her pimp. That's what they're going to find out. He was her pimp. She did him wrong, held out the money, and he took care of things, took care of business. The female victim, who was identified as 27-year-old Mona Fonchia of Aventura, that don't sound like a white name to me. was taken to Jackson Memorial Hospital in stable condition with a single gunshot wound. The male victim, the John, who was identified as 33-year-old Victor Dante Young Jr. from Oakland, California, was taken to Jackson Ryder Trauma Center with multiple gunshot wounds in critical condition. He was listed in stable condition as of Monday afternoon. Well, well, wow. Quiet, dogs. Those are my Auschwitz dogs. They were specially genetically put together by Uncle Adolf to live 100 years, and they're still barking. Rodriguez did not say whether the victims were guests at the hotel or they were in the alley having sex, whether they were on the hotel property or for some other reason. We got to look into this. This is really an interesting case. Maybe they'll make a movie out of it. Police set up a perimeter from 41st Street to 44th Street and between Indian Creek Drive and Collins Avenue and the beach. Traffic was also diverted for a time as police used helicopters, canine units, and a SWAT team to search for the suspect. You realize right there cost them at least $10,000, maybe $20,000, maybe $30,000, and they didn't even find the kid. Didn't even find the Negro. Some of the replies from the public to this latest atrocity at the Fontainebleau. My parents are in Miami at the Fontainebleau, and they were sitting outside on the balcony, and they heard the gunshots. Then they ran inside and got under the bed. Wow. Let's see. Well, that's it. There's no other reply to that story. Wow. Story here about a missing 61-year-old woman in Miami Beach. She's missing, but it's got her picture. Most of her teeth are out in her head. She is homely as hell, and I think they hope she stays missing. Boy, it's a good thing I got out of Indiana, man. This is a news story from Bean Blossom, Indiana. I never heard of Bean Blossom, Indiana. I've heard of Brown County, a Brown County church vandalized by Donald Trump graffiti shortly after the 2016 election, wasn't targeted by pro-Trump political activists, but a member of their own congregation, according to police. I'm so surprised. People suspected the KKK and some other hate group, maybe the Hollywood Nazis, responsible for the graffiti. The arrest of the church organist was a surprise. It was a surprise, man. It was a church organist. And a relief. The Brown County Prosecuting Attorney's Office issued a statement Wednesday saying they had charged 26-year-old George Nathaniel Stang of Bloomington, Indiana, with institutional criminal mischief. That's mischief? You know, you hardly ever see that word anymore. When I was a kid, you used to see it. A misdemeanor. Stang was a man who originally claimed to have found the graffiti. That happens a lot. And works as the organist at the St. David's Episcopal Church in Bean Blossom, Indiana. Yeah. Quote, oh my, the organist, unquote, Mary Ayers said. The organist, wow, I can't believe it. He was a white boy, man. It was November. Shortly after the presidential election, Stang told everyone he discovered the graffiti when he arrived for Sunday morning services. The small Episcopal church is inclusive and welcomes homosexual couples. And probably he was a homosexual too. Homosexuals can be racist too, you know. I've met several of them in the right wing over the years, believe me. Yeah. Some pretty high up in the right wing, too. Some of those homosexual leaders in the right wing are still eulogized and worshipped by the rank and file who go around saying how they hate the homosexuals. Strange. Well, now, they should say the small Episcopal church is inclusive and welcomes homosexual racist couples. That's fine. As long as they're homosexual, they're okay. If they want to paint up the church, that's their right. The Indiana detectives showed up in bib overhauls because they're a real professional group. They immediately suspected the crime was committed by someone familiar with the church. They knew their way around. They said cell phone records put Stang in the area on Saturday night. Wow. According to court records, when confronted with the evidence, a 26-year-old homosexual man confessed. A homosexual terrorist, what he is, man. Investigators say Stang admitted to painting the Heil Trump and Fag Church graffiti himself because he wanted to mobilize a movement after being disappointed in the fearful outcome of the national election. He insisted his actions were not motivated by anti-Christian or anti-homosexual sentiments. But they were motivated by anti-self-whites. Hate, self-hatred of whites. Ron Smith, a Brown County resident, shook his hand. His straw hat almost fell off. Quote, is there any rhyme or reason or sanity in this kind of action? Yes. It goes on all over the country. People use everybody else to blame their problems. Everything's racism, man. I don't think, Smith said. Brown County Prosecutor Ted Adams talked about Stang's alleged motive. He showed up on his bicycle. He explained that one of the reasons he had done it was because of fear. He was fearful. He was concerned about the results of the election, Adams said. Yeah. In a 3-page handwritten statement, Stang, according to court records, wanted to mobilize a movement against the fascists. Quote, I suppose I wanted to give local police, local people, a reason to fight for good. Even if it was a false flag, he wrote. It's okay. To be clear, my actions were not motivated by hate. Well, you hated the haters for the church or its congregation. You mean there's no racist in your church? I doubt that. I, of course, realize now this was not the way to go about inspiring activism, especially after I got thrown the slammer. I found the Lord after I got thrown in the slammer. The hate crime hurt the community. Residents say it gave outsiders the wrong impression of Bean Blossom. Well, since I don't think hardly anybody ever heard of Bean Blossom, I don't know how it could. Jody Boyd relieved the mystery as apparently solved. Just knowing the hate crimes will stop here in Brown County and Bean Blossom, maybe things will be put to rest until the next Ku Klux Klan rally. If convicted, Stang could be sentenced to a year in jail and fined as much as $5,000. But he won't because all the Christians will forgive him. Reached by phone Wednesday, he had nothing to say. That's the first thing he said that's intelligent. Don't talk, dummy. The church had no comment on the arrest, but the Episcopal Diocese of Indianapolis Bishop Jennifer Baskerville Burroughs issued the following statement about the vandalism. Well, I thought it was a hate crime. Oh, no, it was a white homosexual, so it couldn't be a hate crime. Quote, I was saddened to learn this morning that the vandalism of the St. David's Church in Bean Blossom was committed by the church's organist. You know, I'm not going to go there in the church. The homosexuals, he's the organist. In more ways than one. Nathan Stang, who was admitted to police that he spray-painted hateful graffiti on the church last November in the wake of the presidential election. This was hurtful, dishonest, and profoundly misguided action that works against all homosexuals and queers. I mean, homosexuals. Against the values of the people of this diocese and the Episcopal Church, and we will continue to cooperate with the cops who are pursuing this case. That's all I have to say. Okay? Oh, she got some more to say. Oh, my God. Unquote. Or quote, we're living now in a political climate that's so divisive and highly charged that people from all across the political spectrum are making thoughtless and hurtful choices that they believe are justified by righteousness of their causes, like stopping free speech, stopping Ann Coulter from speaking at the university. That was doing a righteous thing. As people who followed Jesus, we must find a different way. Which way did he go? Christians are called to hold one another accountable for our choices and actions, but also to offer one another love and forgiveness. We forgive that guy for painting up the church. He tried to do a good thing. I do not know Nathan, who is not a member of the diocese, and has worked at the church for about a year. But media reports indicate he felt frightened and alone in the wake of last year's presidential election, that he was attempting to catalyze a movement for instilling a sense of fear in the congregation and the community. Many people in our country, particularly members of sexual, religious, and racial minorities, have well-founded reasons to be fearful and paint up the church. These difficult times with this terrible situation illustrates why we must resist the temptation to play on those fears. Our job as people of God is to speak the truth in love, admit our own sins, and be ever mindful that seeking justice includes ending fear for all God's people. Yeah. Quote, I know this incident has been deeply painful for many people here in St. David's and our diocese in Bean Blossom, Indiana, and surrounding communities of Mudfuck and what's that other one down there? I don't remember. And across the country, as bishop, I want to offer my sincere apology to all those who have been hurt both by what happened in November and what is happening today. As this story unfolds in the media and in the courts, I hope that you will join me in praying for St. David's and its leaders, for Bean Blossom, for Nathan, and for everyone who was found in this incident a reason to be afraid. Everybody in Bean Blossom is afraid. Half the town has moved out to Indianapolis. They feel safer with the bigger gangbangers than these homosexuals here in Bean Blossom. Well, what a surprise. French Jews breathe a sigh of relief as right-wing candidate Marine Le Pen was roundly defeated by a centrist. He's a banker. And I understand he's a homosexual, but I'm not going to hold that against him. In the second and final round of the country's presidential election on Sunday. But experts warn that the community still faces tough decisions over its long-term future. Oh, wow. Projections after the polls closed showed Macron with a comfortable 65% of the vote. However, the new French president will be acutely aware that a full 25% of the voters abstained from the second ballot and didn't even vote. As a whole, the election was dominated by extremist challenges from Le Pen's National Front faggot, Nazi, fascist, and on the right, and Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who won over 20% of the first round vote on the communist-dominated far left. Man, we got quite a bunch of different people over there in France. That's the way it should be, I think. You know, I didn't agree with outlawing the Communist Party in the United States. I liked some of the things the right wing did, but on the other hand, there wouldn't have been near as much trouble if they had just let the communists have their political party and run them in the elections and everything else, because they wouldn't have got any place. Christ's sake, how many people think communists could get elected, except maybe in small places? Socialists could, because I know the Klan worked with the socialists in Wisconsin, I believe, in Milwaukee, to elect the mayor back in the 20s. So the right wing and the left wing got together. So all the trouble that we went through during that witch hunting, the communist. And believe me, some of the communists are not as bad as the capitalists. Anyhow, I don't have time to go into that. French Jews are very positive about the results. They didn't want Le Pen to win, so they are happy with that. Yeah, the Jews are always going to vote along their lines, which I don't blame them. I don't blame them for being collectively for themselves. Blacks should be for themselves, whites should be for ourselves. But whites are not for ourselves. That's the problem. Dr. Do Maimon, head of the European desk at the Jewish People Policy Institute in Jerusalem, quote, maybe 5 or 10% voted for her, but 90% voted against her with good reason, because she's a goddamn Nazi. I don't think she's much of a Nazi myself. Even her father wasn't that good. I know Pierce, Dr. Pierce and all these guys went over there and went to his political party meetings and all that. But that doesn't make him a hardcore racial separatist at all. It may make him a national socialist, but that does not mean he's a hardcore racial separatist. Michael Gerfinkiel, a leading French political analyst and president of the Jean-Jacques Rousseau Institute in Paris, agreed that the majority of Jews will be pleased by Le Pen's defeat. But a majority will still be concerned about their future. Well, everybody should be concerned about their future. I'm concerned about my future. Francis Califat, president of the French Jewish Representative Organization, CRIF, tweeted his congratulations to Macron. Quote, it all starts now, Califat declared. You're our boy. Can I have a date? Well, let's see here. What else we got? We're almost out of time here. Whoa, wait a minute here. I'm trying to find some new stuff. While immediate threats that would have been posed by a National Front victory have been abated, yeah, the progressives didn't go crazy and burn down Paris. Well, I say if they can burn down Paris, burn down Paris. If nobody wants to stop them, if nobody can stop them, if nobody will stop them, just like in this country, the conservatives are all saying, we want to stop this, want to stop that. They don't have the balls to stop anything. Among them, a prohibition on the wearing of a kippah in public places. Oh, that is the reason to vote against the guy. We cannot wear our silly little clothes. Measures against Jewish ritual slaughter. Oh, we got to have Jewish ritual slaughter, man. And this guy will let us slaughter everything. And a ban on dual nationality. Oh, God, we can't have that. That would have harshly impacted French Jews in Israel, see? They always want dual citizenship so they can play their little crooked games all over the world in all of these different countries. That's the greatest thing ever for the Jews, or anybody, for dual citizenship. The general pessimism about the community's long-term future remains. There's still people don't know what's going to go on to do France. Macron is a supporter of multiculturalism, race mixing, which in this case means more power for the Muslim community. Yeah, Maimon observed. 70% of French Muslims say they don't like Jews. Now, how's that going to work out? The Jews say they don't like Marine Le Pen. I think Le Pen would have done more to protect the Jews than this clown. A 2014 poll conducted by CRIF found that over 70% of the French Muslims believe that Jews had too much power. They want some of that power. You got to share that power with us. We ain't going to share it with you, goddammit. We work too hard to get it over the nation's media and financial system. Gerfinkiel said that while Macron had made several statements to reassure the Jewish community, the Jew community, in the run-up to the election, many Jews remain nervous about some of his key political allies. Among them is Secretary General of Macron's En Marche political movement, veteran socialist politician Richard Ferrand, as well as having donated 2,000 euros to a Palestinian solidarity group. Oh my God. Ferrand said to be a supporter of the BDS movement targeting Israel. What do you mean, criticizing Israel, or is he going to bomb Israel? Macron, for his part, has voiced firm opposition towards the BDS campaign. These guys always declare they don't have anything to do with them after it's over. Gerfinkiel said that similar concerns had emerged around former French Foreign Minister Dominique de Villepin, another Macron ally and a frequent critic of Israel. Well, you're going to find Israel's going to be more and more and more criticized till finally there is no more. Demographically, they will disappear into the sludge of North Africa. The big question mark is over whether he will keep these people around. Yeah. Uncertainty among French Jews is not likely to dissipate over the next 4 weeks as Macron begins campaigning for a working majority in next month's parliamentary elections. In French, they run for office too much. God. Garfinkel said there was a possibility that the National Front would dissolve into a new party with wider appeal, meaning that Le Pen would water down the party, more water down the party, and start working with Muslims as a leader not just of populist right, but of the entire conservative right in France. Wow. The coming weeks will see some clarifications of the major political questions, said Garfinkel. I wish he'd get a simpler name, like Jones or Brown. Is everybody going to flock around Macron? Is the hard left going to try and make it by itself against the National Front and Macron? Is the conservative right able to undergo some kind of resurrection? Wow. Sounds like it's going to be fun in France. I may move to France. Mamon emphasized that the deeper dilemmas faced by French Jews would not be resolved by a single election, as well as anti-Jewism and the preservation of Jewish identity. Identity sounds a little racist to me, even though you're not a race. You've never been a race. That's the sad part about it. The Jews have not been a race. And all my right-wing buddies are going to argue with me about that. I think it'd be easily proven. The Jews are not a race. They're a mixed multitude of all kinds of people. French Jews were worried about the economy, a decline in prosperity, and most of all, the education of the younger generation. We don't want them to grow up to be Muslims, and we don't want them to grow up to be Aryans. We just want them to grow up as good kikes. Okay, here's some of the replies to this. Richie M. says, but they're fine with the now guaranteed increased invasion into France of more Jew-hating Muslims. Idiots. WB93 says, reminds me of the Jews who were happy with the NSDAP when they won the 1933 elections. Don't scoff, there are many such Jews. Well, sure, there are many such Jews who were National Socialists, too. French Jews, like most Jews, even in Israel, are living in a La Puta exile, disconnected from the reality of Islam's threat to our existence. Then why are you combining with the Muslims against other people? You are truly mixed up racially. You're totally mixed up, so you don't make a race at all. But politically, you're mixed up too. So you're right wing Jews, left wing Jews, middle Jews, and homo Jews. It's horrible. It's just terrible. You just can't keep people together anymore. Maybe the only good thing about Dehimi Macron's win will be an increase in aliyah to Israel by those few who realize what's really going on and don't believe the lies about peaceful or moderate Islam. One more before I go. This is from Leo Wine. I would say that the Jews in France have more to fear from Islam than Le Pen. I agree. I know you do. Because Le Pen will vacillate. Over the next 5 years, there will be serious problems in France. No shit. From ever more Islamic immigration and rising Islamic political power, the Jews will be the target of Islam. Yeah, well, you figured that out, huh? Macron will not do anything to stop this. In fact, he wants more immigration. France and French Jews will regret voting for Macron. Well, that's it for today from all over the world into this wild and woolly world and crazy place. Wow. This is Terrible Tommy signing off.
Adventures of Me, Tom Terrific, with my... The Real Great Adventures of Me, Tom Terrific, with Mighty Manfred the Wonder Dog. I'm Tom Terrific, the greatest hero ever. Terrific is the name for me, cause I'm so clever. I can be what I want to be, and if you'd like to see, follow me. If you see a plane on high, a diesel train go roaring by, a bumblebee or a tree, it's me, when they're in trouble, right there on the double, from Atlantic to Pacific, they know I'm terrific.
I'm Mighty Manfred, the Wonder Dog, and